Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, good morning, beloved. I pray that you are doing well. This is the day that the Lord has made. Have you found something to rejoice and be glad in? The Word tells us to rejoice and be glad. I'll get back to you on that in a moment. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Also, the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. And if you go to our website, www.newvisionforlife.com, there you will find the address and the time of our service. You are more than welcome to attend the service with us. If you're within driving distance, walking distance, please come and join us on tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow our guest speaker will be none other than Minister Shelley Eldridge. She will be the one bringing forth the word again as part of my anniversary celebration. And I know it is going to be a good, not a good word, a great word. I know it's going to be. So I encourage you to come and visit us on tomorrow. So this morning, I'd like to say good morning to my host, my co-host. Good morning to you, beloved. How are you today?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How are you?
Amen. Amen. Honey, I am doing well. I am doing well. God is so good, and He is faithful in all that He does, and He brought us safely through another night. So for that,
yes,
I am thankful. So to God be the glory.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, amen. And who would you like to say good morning to this morning, hon?
I would like to say good morning to all of our callers, our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. As I always say, you could still be asleep. You could still be dreaming. You could still be, you know, just enjoying catching up on your rest because you was, you know, doing things all throughout the week. But you decided to wake up and dial in, and we greatly appreciate you for that. And we know that without you guys supporting us, it wouldn't be a line. But we also want to thank God for giving us this platform to reach you know, to reach those, to reach the masses, to reach the nations with His word. And so we don't want to forget God in this process. And it was no mistake that you named it Heart to Heart. And I always say from God's heart to our hearts, heart to heart, you know, where we get to the heart of the matter. And real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Elder West this morning. We want to congratulate him on his he's getting married today. So New Vision, on behalf of New Vision, we want to say congratulations, Elder West and Apostle Roslyn, and we pray that God blesses your union mightily, and that we know that something great is coming from this union, and we just look forward to witnessing this great big deal today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it is a great big deal. It really is. So I'm with you. I know you said it on behalf of all of us, but as a spiritual mother, I shouldn't say but, I should say however, as his spiritual mother, I want to say truly the very best to him and to his bride-to-be. And look, I said his spiritual mother. Well, we also have his spiritual father online this morning. And so I would like to say good morning to the man of God. So, sweetheart, would you please bring him in. He wasn't prepared for this, but bring him in if you would, so we can say good morning to Apostle Reggie Wilson. Praise be unto God. I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. And Apostle, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. God bless you, and congratulations in just building a son and releasing him for what God has. And to everyone on the line as well, I'm just glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you. Amen. Well, good morning to Tamika Shelton, to Lady Joyce, to Joyce in New York. Good morning to you. In the name of Jesus, good morning to Prophetess Dorn. May God be with you on this awesome, awesome day. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. Praise be unto God. Yes, good morning to Prophetess Kim. Praise be unto God. Remember, folks, next week is her conference. Next week is her conference. And just let her come in for a moment here and let her give you the website for the last-minute registration, So let her say good morning. Good morning, Prophetess. How are you?
Good morning, Apostle. I am well. How are you?
I am truly blessed and highly favored, beloved. I am truly blessed and highly favored. Would you please
Amen.
Say good morning to our listening audience, beloved, and let them know how to reach you for last-minute registration.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Amen. The conference is next Saturday, October 12th, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Waldorf, Maryland. Apostle Banks does have the flyer, but the website is www.diamondinruff.org. Registration is $40, but I spoken to Apostle Banks before, and I said anyone on the line who registered is $30. So instead of clicking the registration, just click donate, or if you'd like to prefer Cash App, it's $DiamondsNRUFF. This is a breakthrough to harvest conference. Our scriptures are Mark and coming out of Mark and Luke, the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus. And the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we're going to be discussing what we do to get to breakthrough, how we get to breakthrough, and how we move from breakthrough to walking into our harvest. Because, as I said, it's not enough to break through, but now what? We need to get to our harvest. We want to receive everything that God has for us. Blind Bartimaeus was blind, and he received his sight. But imagine if he was still by the roadside begging. So it's not just enough to get a breakthrough. We want the total package. We want everything that God has for us, and that's what we'll be discussing next week. We have continental breakfast and lunch are included. Someone donated some items for gift bags, so I thank God for that. We'll have gift bags for everyone, and we have an open panel discussion, which is Let's Talk About It, where we get the dialogue and you can ask questions. Nothing is off the table. We'll be discussing whatever it is you desire. So I pray if God lay on your heart that you would sign up, press your way out. If there's any concerns or anything, you can always inbox me on Facebook under Kim B. King or Prophetess Kimberly King, whichever, and we can sort out the details. But please, if you're in the area, even if you're not in the area, Apostle Banks, they even have people coming up from North Carolina and around the area. So people, you know, hey, you know, we all need a move of God. So I'm excited about what God is going to do next week. So thank you for the opportunity, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen, beloved. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And everyone, just let me say, I've been to Prophetess Kim's conferences before, and they are awesome. Her speakers are always awesome and on time. You're getting a rhema word from the Lord. The discussion panel is fantastic. I absolutely loved it. So I encourage you, I encourage you, I encourage you. Go to www.diamondsinruff.org. Ruff, not in the Ruff. It's in Ruff, R-U-F-F. So go to the website and donate. Do it for $30 because you are a listener here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Do so and be blessed, and be blessed. Amen, amen. Well, beloved, if you would go ahead, honey, and open us up in prayer this morning, and let us get started with our topic for the day.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
glory to your name, oh God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you on this line that you may have your way, that you would take over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just thank you for being great. We thank you for being awesome. We thank you for being loving. We thank you for covering us and protecting us. We thank you for watching over us throughout the night. We thank you that we, whoever had to travel overnight, Lord God, that you got them to that destination safe and sound, Father. Lord, we just thank you for blocking us from things seen and unseen. We thank you for being a perfect Father, always in our corner, pushing us to do better, pushing us to be great. And Father, we could never ask for a greater Father. You've given us so much direction. You've been a perfect example. And we just want to give you thanks for the unconditional love that you show us each and every day. But we know that we're nothing without you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for being who you are, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for loving us past our faults, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you keep us in the midnight hour, Lord God.
Yes,
we thank
Jesus,
you, Father God, that you, Father God, are our strength, because without you, Lord God, we couldn't make it. And so, Lord, we know that sometimes we're busy and distracted, and we're just not focused, God, but you're still with us. You're still with us, oh God. You're still pushing us to be great.
Yes.
You're still opening doors on our behalf, Lord God. And even when we're unlovable, God, you love us. You love us past our mistakes. You love us past our faults, oh God. And Lord, we just want to give you glory just to say thank you, just to take time to say thank you. Some of us don't even say thank you, Lord God. But Father, we just want to say thank you, because you could just, because we're so thankful that you're not human like us. Because when people don't do stuff for us, we turn our back on them. We don't want to deal with them anymore, Lord God. But we do that same thing to you, but you're still there, Lord God. You're still there and wanting to help us. So we thank you, Father God, that you are who you say you are. We thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for creating us in your image, oh God. God, we're going to get this right. We are going to get it right, Father God, and we thank you for your patience with us, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I declare that we will be who you called us to be. Lord God, I decree that we will speak healing into the earth. God, I decree that we shall love our brothers and sisters the same way that you love us, Lord God. I declare that we will be set free and made whole in the name of Jesus, oh God. I declare, Father God, and when we wake up in the morning, we will give you praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I declare healing over sickness. I declare love over hate, oh God. I declare joy over pain in the name of Jesus, oh God. I declare peace over chaos and confusion in the name of Jesus, oh God. I declare deliverance, Father God, over bondage in the name of Jesus, God. And I just thank you, God, for everything. I thank you for everything, God. I thank you that I have you to turn to and talk to, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord God, that I invited you into my heart. Lord God, I'm glad that you're there in the name of Jesus. And I just give you give permission that you can just have your way, God, for I belong to you, Lord God. I belong to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you will begin to change our eyesight. You will begin to change what we hear. You will begin to change how we speak, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that we would just totally rest in your peace. Rest in your arms. Rest in your faithfulness. Rest in everything that you promised us, Lord God. Not have any worries. Not be anxious, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. But, Lord, we know that you are in control. And as long as you are in control, we cannot fail. As long as you're in control, we win in the name of Jesus. So I declare and decree on this day that we are winners and that we will allow that word win to be in our hearts, Lord God, so that when things come up against us, we don't automatically feel defeated, but we know that you have already worked it out, Lord God. And so we give you praise, we give you honor, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Folks, you know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, we did the topic that we discussed was thankfulness and how to be thankful to God in all of our situations, how to be thankful. And when you have a thankful heart, there's a move of the Spirit that comes upon you, you know, as you are giving thanks to God. He loves to hear us saying thank you, being grateful in times even of trouble, that we can say, God, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing, not letting the enemy take our mind off of Christ. And the word tells us that those that keep our mind stayed on him, that we would be in perfect peace. And there's a time for perfect peace. So I pray in the name of Jesus over each and every one of you, whatever your concerns are today, whatever it is that is disturbing you, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that as you focus on our Father, focus on the gift that he gave us by giving us his beloved Son, focus on the power within from Holy Spirit, as you do this, hallelujah, you shall walk in perfect peace. You shall walk in perfect peace. There shall be a calmness over you in the name of Jesus. There shall be a peace that passes all of your natural understanding. And even with that being said, I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that even over this wedding today, because you know if you know anything about weddings, you know that turmoil and all kinds of calamity happens as people are getting themselves together for a wedding. And in the name of Jesus, I come against any discord. I come against troubling minds. I come against confusion, and I speak peace, peace in the house, peace, peace over the bride and groom, peace over those that are participating in the wedding, those that have anything to do with the setting up and the breaking down. Peace in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will supply all of their needs in the name of Jesus, that you will supply it, that you are the nucleus, you are the center of their joy. You're the center, Lord God, of this marriage. You are the center, Father God, of all that we have to attend to today. So, Lord, let your will be done here on earth and in these earthly vessels, as it is already done in heaven. Guide our feet, Lord God, as we walk through the process. And I thank you that grace and mercy is following us all the days of our lives. And we will give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, Lord, listen. Lord, listen. Amen. All right. Well, Lord, you can listen in on this too, okay? You can listen in on this. Well, look, we're going to discuss briefly today. Oh, let me make one more announcement. Next week, we will be doing a replay of one of our shows. We have not yet picked it out, but we will be doing a replay of one of the shows, because next week Minister Tabika and I will be at Prophetess Kim's conference, and it's an hour away for us to get there. So we have to leave out of here anywhere between a quarter of 8 and 8 o'clock. We have to be on the road. And her conference is from 9 until 4. So we won't be live, but we will have a playback of one of your favorite programs. We will check it out and see, you know, where we had the most response to, and we'll put one of the programs up. And so we do thank you, you know, for as you continue to be listeners and faithful, you know, in your listening. And even this morning, after we finish talking today, this morning we will be getting right on the road and heading to New Jersey for this auspicious occasion that we are going to, this wedding. So please pray our safe travels as we do so there. And remember, as we are speaking, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment, you can do so by pressing 1 on your keypad. You may do so by pressing 1 on your keypad, and that will let us know that you have something to say, something to share from your heart to ours, to God's heart, and we are grateful for that. So now today what we want to talk about is how God sees us, and this is a very important key to faith. Now, all of you, you know, every one of us on this phone, we have relationship, whether it's with God, with our mates, with our mothers, father, sister, brother, friends, and so forth. We have relationship with them. And prayerfully, you have faith in your friends. You have faith in this relationship. You're trusting them with, you know, being your confidant. You're trusting them maybe even with your monies. You're trusting these people. And yet if either of them brought a stranger to you and introduced you to that stranger, you would have difficulty trusting that person and having faith in that person, being that you just met them. You know nothing about them other than the name that was given to you. You don't even know if that is their real name. So it makes it very hard to trust someone that you don't know. And a lot of times we have this same issue when it comes to trusting God. Trusting God, God whom we cannot see. It is something that, and listen, beloved, this is happening much in the body of Christ. It is happening much in the body of Christ. We say we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know that it is by faith and grace that we are saved. And yet when it comes to trusting him, when we pray for something and it doesn't get done the way we prayed for it, we have difficulty in trusting him for the next thing that we're praying for. I hope you heard me clearly when I said that he doesn't answer the prayer the way we prayed for it. Oh, God answers every single prayer, even when his answer is no, even when the answer is not now. The prayer has been answered, just not the way that you desired for it to be answered. And so, excuse me, it is difficult for us to trust people that we don't know and people that we're not sure that have our best interest in heart. And the enemy has convinced us that when we pray for something and we're asking God to do something or to give us something or make provision in a certain way, that when it is not done, that we are not sure that he has our best interest. That he has our best interest in mind. How can we freely put our life in the hand of somebody who we perceive that may not be trustworthy. Listen. I remember saying a long, long time ago, you know, like, I trust God in so many areas in my life. I trust him. And when I got married, I remember trusting the God in three prophets who told me that my mate at that time, you know, that this was the mate that was chosen for me. This is the man that God has intended, you know, intended to cover me and, you know, to be my companion, to walk with me in ministry. And, you know, like, awesome, awesome prophecy. Three different prophets at three different times, three different locations, the whole nine yards. I'm getting the same word. So I trust the God in them that brought forth the word. The man was a very good friend to me, a very good friend. So we got married. Well, beloved, we got married, and if you've been on this line at all more than once, you know that presently I am a divorced woman, okay? I am a divorced woman. And in my immature state, after the divorce, I said, God, I trust you with everything that's going on in my life except for this. I will not trust another prophetic word dealing with my marriage or dealing with a marriage and so forth, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just running off at the mouth, beloved. Do you hear me? Just running off, saying I did not trust him. I had the nerve to say that. I didn't trust him in these situations. And I don't want to hear, you know, another prophet that somebody has been chosen for me. Well, you know, I eventually had to repent. I had to repent because God is not calling me to have 75% trust in him, 90% trust, not even 99. The old song says 99 and a half won't do. It's 100%. Lord, I trust you with my life. I have had to come to the place to understand that with God loving us, glory to God, with God loving us so much that he would give his son, his only begotten son, that he would give him as a sacrifice, the only pure sacrifice acceptable to God Almighty, that he would do that so that I would not be a slave to sin, that I would not go to hell, that I would have promises that are given to me by what happened, the atonement that went on the cross, that my healing, my deliverance, my salvation, all of this being wrapped up in his son, that he loved me that much. He loved me that much. Then I have got to understand that anybody that loves like that has got to be trustworthy in all areas of my life. Got to be trustworthy. Beloved, let me tell you something. In those prophecies that came forth, that man, who is still a very good friend of mine, was supposed to be my husband. Do you understand? I came to the place where I realized they didn't lie. They didn't lie. They weren't confused. God wasn't confused. He was supposed to be my husband. The thing that was missing here is what God has given all of us, the free will that he has given us. So the man was meant to be my husband, but it did not say that this man would walk in the fullness of God's glory, that he would be faithful, that there would not be trouble. That wasn't said. That wasn't said. And to this day, you know, I realized that that was the case back then. I had no reason to call those people false prophets and so forth. The word was true. He was supposed to be my husband. He was my husband. It wasn't stated for how long, forever and a day, whatever the case may be. And the enemy likes for us to twist some things up, you know, and make it out to what we need it to be. But to God be the glory, you know, I'm able to put my trust back into the hands of Almighty Father, Abba, our Father. I'm able to do that. And many Christians today are having a hard time trusting God. They know very little about him and how he sees and has good things in mind for them, for us. So when we study up on how God sees us and getting it down in our spirit that he really, really does love us, he desires good things for us, he truly does care for us, this is vital to our ability to trust him. The more
beloved,
you know about him, yes, baby.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it looks like Apostle Wilson has something he want to say.
Amen.
So I'm going to unmute his line.
Go ahead, bring him in. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Apostle Wilson. Apostle Wilson.
Hello there.
Apostle, did you have something to say, beloved?
No, I didn't. I listened very attentively.
Oh, okay. Because your line was lighting up.
Okay, it's probably because I'm walking in a facility and it might have just, you know, went off of me.
Okay.
And opened up. Yeah. I
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
All
right. Amen. Amen. Thank you for keeping an eye on the line, beloved. Thank you. Amen.
You're welcome.
But again, you know, it's coming to the place of knowing someone and knowing how much they care for you. This is what helps us to trust that person. So a stranger, we would have some difficulty in trusting. Mother and father, sister and brother, it's easier for us to trust them. Amen. And we need to come to the place where we truly understand the love that God has for us, that he has a plan for us. He desires to bless us continuously, that this is what God wants for us. And then it'll make it easier for us to trust him. Go ahead, beloved. You may.
Amen. So just to piggyback off of what Apostle was saying, and when it came to the prophets telling her about her marriage, that was the man that she was supposed to be married to, and then when it didn't work out, how she, you know, began to doubt the word of God, and then, you know, how her mind was quickly changed. So sometimes just we get prophetic words, but we have a part to play in it. So when we mm-hmm. receive prophecy, there's a part that we have to play in it. And sometimes the direction in the prophecy is not there. But if you go to God for yourself, after you get a prophetic word and you don't understand it or it's not clear to you, you can go to God and ask for clarity and revelation. Because what happens is we get a prophetic word. I've done this. We get prophetic words, we're excited about what we hear, and we think that it's going to happen tomorrow, or we think that it's going to happen next week. And then when it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. And what we forget to realize is that we never went back and said to God, well, what is my role in this? What is my part to make sure that I'm being compliant to this prophetic word coming to pass? And sometimes when we get prophetic words or promises, it's not going to happen tomorrow. But you know, that's mm-hmm. unless in the word it says, when you're getting it, it says it's going to happen in 7 days or it's going to happen the next day, then you look forward to that. But just for me, when I get, you know, the prophetic promises, it's faith. It's putting your faith into action. It's putting your faith into action. And I'll go back to share my being transparent. Again, I love being transparent because it helps other people in their own situations to stay faithful and to keep hope alive in their hearts. So for my husband and I, we were prophesied that we had a prophecy. It's been at least 10 years or more now that we would have children. Now, I already have a son from a previous relationship, but my husband has no children. And the prophetic word was that we would have triplets. Okay, so we're waiting, and we're watching everybody around us have kids and another kid, and we're like, okay, God, like, we're still here. Did you forget about us? And so at a point in my life, I started to get discouraged I started to get disappointed. And I'm like, okay, now I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in order to bring children forth. I know that I'm just not going to be immaculate conception like Jesus. So I know that I need to play my part in this, God. And, you know, that's what I'm doing. So why is it that it's not happening? And so even in this, God is working on my faith. And what my revelation was, a lot of times we hold up our own prophetic word being manifested. And what I try to do is try to, the comparison thing comes in, okay, God, well, you trying to prepare me for three kids, but what about people that have children and didn't want them, or they didn't even know they were pregnant, and yet I'm still waiting, and I'm waiting, and I feel like, you know, you forgot me, God, like, what's wrong with me? So I thought, I'm going to do that, and you know, every time, you know, every month goes by, and I'm like, okay, it didn't happen. Okay, it didn't happen. So I'm like, okay, God, what am I missing? And God had to begin to work on my heart because, number one, if we're going to have three kids at one time, that needs to be money, you know. If we're going to have three kids at one time, that needs to be patience, and there needs to be resources. And so just because it hasn't happened yet, God is letting me know that he has not forgotten about me, and I have to still give praise even in the midst of waiting for a prophecy such as this on this magnitude. I still have to give him praise. I have to rejoice as if it's already happened. And sometimes we get in a funk because, you know, in our minds, we've waited long enough. And look, I even told him, I'm like, God, I don't want to be old as Sarah and Abraham. I don't want to be that old. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be able to enjoy three kids. I don't want to be old running behind three kids. I want to be able to enjoy them. I want to see them grow up. I want to see them go to college. I want to even see them have their own, you know, be married and have their own kids. So, you know, can you please hurry up? Because I'm not getting any younger. And so what I do know is that God does not make mistakes. And I do know that sometimes God is working on us first. Like, he's working on so many things that my husband and I have to make right first before these children can come, you know. And he doesn't want us to be stressed out over having three kids. And so he's trying to prepare us in every area so that we can be ready for when the time comes. So I had to take my mind off of looking in the natural that it's not, they're not here. They're there in the spiritual realm. They're there. And in God's appointed time, they'll be here. And so that's how I had to stay. That's how I had to keep my mind, because I would call and talk to an apostle, and I would cry, and she would, you know, she would encourage me and minister to me. And I'm like, you know, I just don't understand. And, you know, she even said some things. And at that moment, it was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Like, she, I don't want to hear that right now. But I know the God in her. And I had to even trust what she was saying, even though it hurt so bad to keep waiting and waiting and waiting and watching everybody around you have kids and announce, oh, you know, we're pregnant. And it's like, but God, we got that prophecy over, what, 10 years ago maybe at this point. And so, you know, again, God has not forgotten you. whoever you are, whoever is has been waiting on something a long time, God has not forgotten you, but we all have a part to play in our prophetic words coming to pass. Amen. Go ahead, beloved. We can't hear you. I don't know if your phone is muted. Okay, I don't know if we, if our call dropped or not, but I'll continue to go ahead. So, apart the topic was how God sees us, like how does God see us, and why is faith so important in that? And our information, this article came from greatbiblestudy.com, and we just want to acknowledge, you know, where we're getting our information from. So it's greatbiblestudy.com. And so we know that, that faith plays a very big part in how God sees us. And a lot of times when we go through stuff, God is just watching how we're going to react to it. And it's building our faith. And even though it may be uncomfortable, the situations that you may be in is building faith. So if you keep that in mind when you're going through something and you gauge where your faith is, do you have no faith? Do you have little faith? You know, is it the size of a mustard seed? Because that's what God said, that we needed to have faith as small as a mustard seed. And a mustard seed is really, really small. And so is that where your faith is? Do you have great faith? You know, where is your faith in this moment? So, you know, another big key to positioning ourselves to trust God with the issues in our life is faith. And without faith, you know, we can't move. We can't do the things that God has in store for us. And we need that faith to keep us going. We need that faith to keep us moving. We need that faith to keep us alive and to keep God even trusting us in the things that he already has in store for us. So, you know, it is very important to know how God sees us, because what he thinks about us and what he desires for us are important. And as Apostle was saying earlier, it's hard to trust someone that you don't know. And a lot, and people use the excuse, well, I can't see him, so how can I trust him? And that's the basis on, you know, excuse me, why they won't believe in God, is because they can't see him. We're not going to go into all of that this morning. But the way that you learn to trust somebody is you get to know them. You spend time with them. You ask them questions. You fellowship with them. You go on dates with that person, or if it's you know, somebody at work that you're trying to get to know, you may go out and have lunch with them. And you work with people every day, and the way you get to know your coworkers is because you see them every day. You work with them every day. You may talk to them every day, and sometimes at work conversation comes up, and that's how you get to know people and learn their ways. And that is the way that we are supposed to know God, is to spend time with him, read his word, ask him questions, and he will answer us. He will answer us, but we have to take the time. We have to take the time to do this. And a lot of times we say we trust God. We may say we trust God, but our actions show something different. And what I mean by that is we say we trust God, but then when it comes to a relationship, you know, we don't trust him in that relationship. We don't trust him in our finances. We don't trust that he's going to make a situation right, but we say it comes out of our mouth, but our actions show something different. And a lot of people have problems trusting God in their finances. For example, when it comes to tithes and offerings, when we pay our tithes, we pay it off the top. It should be paid before our bills even get paid. And what happens is people look at their, they look at their paycheck, and then they look at their bills, and then they're like, oh, I can't pay my tithes because I got to pay my bills. And it takes some growth to get to that point where you get paid and you automatically pay your tithes. It's just out of your account. It's gone. You can't get it back. It's gone. That's what I had. That's what I practiced on, because yes, money is tight, but I don't play when it comes to paying my tithes. I get paid. I go ahead and go to PayPal and pay my tithes so that can come out of my account, and then the bills get paid later. So, and I'm not saying don't look at paying tithes as a bill per se, but it's a commitment to the word of God, because that's in his word, and it says that's what we are supposed to do. And so it comes with growth. It comes with you trusting God in your finances. And yes, you know, I pay my tithes, and yes, sometimes money still is short, but God always shows up. Like, he always shows up. And I attribute that to my obedience to paying my tithes. So, you know, and then it goes beyond that to trust God in your finances. So we have to have faith to know that God is going to work everything out. No matter how uncomfortable your gas and electric may be getting ready to get cut off, and it's up until that last day, and you're like, oh goodness, my cutoff notice is for such and such a date, Lord, I don't have the money. And it may be the day of, and God shows up, and the money is available to pay your gas and electric bill. But you have a part to play in that. You have a part, listen, you have a part to play in that. Have you been obedient? Have you paid your tithes? And beyond tithes, we're supposed to give an offering. Your offering could be your time, you know, your service, whatever. But also, even in that, God watches to see how well we do with the rest that's left after your 10% tithes. He looks to see what's left after that. What are you doing with the rest of it that's left after you've paid your tithes? Are you saving some? Are you helping somebody else? And a lot of times, because our money is already short, we can't see how we can help somebody else financially. But I do believe that God even pays attention to debt. You know, okay, my child doesn't have a lot, but I see that he or she is finding a way to help somebody else, even in the little that he or she has. And that is how God trusts us enough, because he has to trust us too in things. He's just not going to give us stuff just because. He want to know that he knows whether or not he can trust us. And sometimes things don't move because, you know, to be honest, no, he can't trust us yet. He can't trust us with the millions of dollars in our bank account because, you know, we're not ready. And so he makes us ready. He gets us prepared and ready for that season to come. And, you know, God had even spoke that to me before, and when it comes to my finances. And I'm like, oh, why do I keep going? I pay my tithes. You know, I serve, blah, blah, blah. You know, why does my finances, you know, keep getting hit like that? And you know, what he revealed is that, let me go back. So we also received a prophetic word some years ago about being wealthy. And so, again, we look at the bigger picture right then and there and think it's going to happen tomorrow. We try to figure out how it's going to happen. Okay, so God has to trust you with wealth. And if he can't trust you, then he's not going to release that to you yet. And so, okay, I had to come to the realization that God doesn't trust us to be wealthy yet. And look, and I'm fine with that. And I'm glad that he revealed that, because if he gave it to us, you know, at that moment that we wanted it, we may not, you know, it would have been gone in 1 or 2 years because we weren't ready for it. So I thank God for preparing us and getting us ready to receive the wealth. And so sometimes don't be upset because, you know, don't be upset because it has not happened. You know, don't be upset because it has not happened. Thank God that he's preparing you, because he doesn't want you to mess up this blessing that he has for you. So just continue to hold on and have faith that everything is going to work out. Everything is going to work out. And Psalms 147:11, it says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Put your hope and put your hope in his unfailing love and fear him. Not fear him like like a ghost type of fear him. Fear him in reverence. Reverence him, you know, for who he is and his power. His power. God has given us power as well. And we have to learn how to use the things that he has given us to work for us and to help other people, because there are a lot of people that don't have faith. And if there are people that don't have faith, and there are some people that are watching how we use ours. Us who say that we trust God and we believe in God, they're watching how we use our faith. And if we're not being a good representation to them, it's like, well, then what's the point? So we just have to be careful in how we are representing Christ. We have to be careful because there are other people that are watching. I want to share another scripture, Ephesians 3:17-19. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, if we read his scriptures, that in itself would fill our hearts with peace, with joy, with love, with patience, and being able, and with faith, to have faith to hold on. Have faith to know that he's watching us and that he's covering us and that he's preparing us for the things to come. So we don't have to be anxious over anything, because God already has our back, and in that appointed time, we shall see it come to pass. Psalm 139:13-18 says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. So God's word was left for us to just give us everything that we need. There's answers in his word. You know, there's joy in his word. There's healing in his word. And we just have to come to that place where we have in our hearts have made known that we are going to just spend that time with him, so that our faith can grow, so that our faith, you know, when our faith is tested, that we don't fall apart. He just wants us to grow some. You know, he wants us to receive the promises that he has for us, but he has to get us prepared. He has to get us prepared for those things. And, you know, sometimes our earthly parents, you know, they make mistakes, they mess up, they give us stuff that we didn't rightfully deserve. And so, you know, sometimes God does that for us. But what happens is sometimes we're so used to in the natural getting things that we don't deserve, that then we go to God like, yeah, I didn't do what you told me to do, but I still want A, B, and C. And, you know, it does not work that way. When God tells us to do something, when he gives us direction in doing something, that is because there's a reward on the other side, you know. And many a times we don't want to do the things that God has told us to do because there could be fear there, or because we don't understand it, or because we're so afraid of being rejected, we just don't do what it is that he's told us to do. But there is joy in being obedient. there is a spot in our heart to be filled that God wants to fill when it comes to us being obedient. There's so many things that God has waiting for us, but it's up to us to be obedient in order to receive them, and he's not going to force us into being obedient. He's not. And so if we could only see all of the blessings and all of the promises and all of the rewards that are just waiting for us to be obedient, we would hurry up and be obedient. And we need to get past the point where we're not concerned about what people, you know, if God tells us to do something, we can't be concerned about what the people think. We have to learn how to be honest with people more when it comes to their behavior, when it comes to their disobedience. We have to learn how to open our mouths. And if we're rejected, if we're rejected by people, then so be it. Because they're not the ones that we have to stand in front of on that day. They're not the ones. It's our Father that we have to stand in front of. And when he says, you know, when you have to answer to all these things, you know, we have to answer to all these things. Go ahead, Apostle. I don't know. At one point I tried to get you in, but I couldn't hear you. And are you there? I still can't hear you.
Hello.
Okay, there you are. I don't know what was going on, but I pulled you in a long time ago, but I couldn't hear you.
I am so sorry. I just found out my phone was on mute.
And I said that. I said your phone may be on mute. We can't hear you. And then I was like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear you say that. Well, bless the Lord. Well, just let me in these last few minutes, and thank you. You did very well in sharing the information that you shared. One of the things that I want to point out, because we're winding down to the end of the show now, well, one of the things I want to find out, the thing about us trusting God is understanding what he feels about us and what he sees in us. And the last scripture that Minister Tabika read, Psalms 39, she read verses 13 to 18. I just want to hit on the last part, excuse me, where it says, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in numbers than the sand. When I'm awake, I am still with thee." Understand that God's thoughts about us are numerous. God is always thinking about us. When we look at Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Know that God wants you to have peace. This is what he thinks. And the enemy has our minds so messed up that we think God wants us sick. He wants us in poverty. He wants us in discord. And that is not who God is. Psalms 40 and 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak the truth of them, they are more than can be counted." I'm telling you, beloved, I'm telling you, God loves you. If you get nothing else from this today, know that he loves you. His thoughts about you are good thoughts. The things he wants to bless us with are great things that he wants to bless us with. He loves us not because of anything that we did, but because of who we are. Excuse me. Christ was not sent here to die for the saints, but for a filthy sinner such as you and I were. And for those who are listening that aren't saved, for who you are right now, God sent his son to die for us. to die for us. I'm telling you. Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you're able to grasp that and get a hold of that and really understand that, that he loves you that much, no matter what anybody else says, no matter how you feel about yourself, if you can get that in your heart, in your mind, and let your heart and your mind come together in agreement, and you know that God loves you, beloved, you can trust him, and you can walk in faith. And remember that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And today, let your motto be, Lord, I want to please you. So therefore, I trust you. I have faith in what you're saying about me. You said I was fearfully and wonderfully made. You said it. You said that you wanted to give me peace. You said that healing is mine. Lord, you said it. You said I'm no longer slave to the things that once bound me. You said it. And I believe what you said, God. I believe it. And therefore, I shall walk in this, and I shall respond to your word. I shall respond to your word. Beloved, look, I love you. God loves you. Minister Tabika loves you. We truly do love you. Be encouraged in the Lord. Walk in the faith of God. Know that he is who he said he is and that you are exactly who God said that you would be. Do so.
Amen.
And know that his will be done here on earth and in these earthly vessels as it is already done in heaven. Trust him. Beloved, I love you. I love you all. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Minister Tabika, can you press our out button? Remember next week,
yes,
beloved. There will be a recording on next week. We love you. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.